In the name of Jesus. It happens about this time every year. The church comes to that part of its yearly cycle when it spends its last weeks reflecting on the last things. Our eyes are, as always, on Christ and the salvation he has accomplished for us. But in these days, we view these mysteries from a little different perspective than at other times of the year. Our Lord frequently put that perspective before his disciples, too. His Luke chapter 17 discourse is one such occasion. Recently, a man characterized as a Hollywood bad boy was being interviewed, and he's doing the voice for a new cartooned version of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, he was asked if his involvement in this project, which can hardly avoid being a religious project, means that he believes in God. And he replied that he has always been spiritual, knowing that there is, in his words, somebody in control out there. But he is not tied down to any particular belief system. So, what's new, you ask? The Pharisees, ever seeking to entrap Jesus in his words, were certainly more religious than this Hollywood figure. Luke 17 records the occasion when they wanted to know of Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. You won't find it by posting a round-the-clock 24/7 vigil, Jesus told them. Why? Because the kingdom of God is en tos humen, that is, in or among you. The kingdom of God will not be found by waiting on a mountaintop or in a monastery, nor will it be a sticker message on a car bumper. It is, in Luther's words, found when God gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word. It is found where hearts believe and confess the merits of Christ, who, in Paul's words, loved me and gave himself for me. Then it is that Jesus turns to his disciples. He tells them that the time would come when they would desire to see the one of the days of the Son of Man, but would not. They will say to you, behold here, behold there. Don't go chasing after them, Jesus warns. Why? Because as a flash of lightning lights up everything under heaven at once, so will the day of your redemption come suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, St. Paul. Such a scenario isn't just possible, mind you. It must happen. And that's how it was also in the days of Noah and Lot. The business of the world set the agenda then, and it will always set the agenda in this world. Eating, drinking, buying, selling, marrying, building. And then the day of the cataclysm came. So it will be in the days, at the end of days, when Christ returns. And then on one day, the end will come. There will be no time to come down from your rooftop patio to gather together your stuff in your house. Likewise for the one in the field, let him not turn back. What is the point of it all? It is that what seems to be plainly evident for anyone to see is not at all what is true and real and essential for your eternal blessedness. Men do indeed set this world's agenda, deciding matters for their own purposes according to their own wisdom. Sometimes the decisions are by common consent, and sometimes after bitter debate. But as the clay giving directions to the potter, so mankind presumes to determine what is right and wrong. For example, man decides that all things considered, abortion is the right thing to do. Again, after careful study of cells, genes, protoplasm, man decides that he and the beast have equal value and equal rights. Does the Creator's word enter into the equation? Don't be silly. There is no Creator and there was no creation. Everything evolved from a primordial soup. Through such thinking, men set the agenda in this world. But man does not set the agenda at all. In our selection this morning, we heard these critical words: the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So what, again, is the point of it all? The work of Jesus was never out of his consciousness or far from his lips. I must work the works of him who sent me. He came into the world to suffer many things. It is precisely being rejected by this generation that Jesus accomplished your salvation. It was not essential, it was not incidental, but essential to your salvation. And likewise, the remaining last days of the world are extended only for the sake of the elect, only that the gospel might be proclaimed for the salvation of sinners, and then will the end come. So it is that Christ, salvation, forgiveness of sins, and the hope of eternal life are and must be the focus of every believer in Christ. As you live in this world, a wicked and perverse generation, your mind is ever on heavenly things, on the last things, on the eternal bliss that you and all believers of all times will possess and enjoy eternally for the sake of the shed blood of Christ. But how is it possible to keep your eye on the ball, to keep focused when there is so much distraction in this world? This has been the challenge of every believer in every age, beginning with Adam and Eve after the fall. No self-motivated effort will do it. Sanctification through the Word of God and prayer, by the daily renewal of his baptism, is what keeps the believer faithful to death that he may obtain the crown of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.